Well, tonight we are looking at the 10th question in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which asks the question, how did God create man? And the answer is, God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. So as we begin this evening, I'll begin by reading from Genesis chapter 1. Beginning in verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And through the end of the chapter. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let us pray and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious God and Father, we do, Lord, thank you for your miraculous work and marvelous work of creating us and creating the universe. We praise you, Lord, that we are distinct among your creation. We are created in your image, and we pray, Lord, as we look at this fact, that you would guide our hearts and minds, and may we come away with a greater understanding of you and of ourselves before you. And may you, Father, bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak clearly this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, as we look at God creating us in his image, there are a couple other scripture passages, and just to remind you, as we've been looking through these catechism questions, we've been looking at the catechism questions and answers, but then looking at the scripture proofs and really diving in there, and I've been preaching on those. And so we'll not only be looking at Genesis, I'm looking at the book of Galatians right now, but we'll also be looking at Ephesians and Colossians. And through Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, here Paul is beginning actually in verse 20. That is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. And the Colossians passage talks about putting on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of God. So that's where the Westminster Divines get this threefold image of God that we are created in. We are created in God's image, as shown in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and following. And then also in Colossians and Ephesians point out, we've been created in the knowledge, in his image, according to knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And as we look at this theme of being created in the image of God, looking at these three passages together, we really have kind of shown for us and brought together in this question and answer kind of the whole picture of redemptive history, of us being created perfect in this image. But then these other passages talking about how we're being renewed in this image. So we were created perfect, and assumed in there, in between the two, is the fall. And in Christ, we're being renewed in these things. And so the theme that we'll be looking at tonight is for us to put on the new self, which is being renewed after the image of God. It's got implications for us in our sanctification. And this work of God is He is making us more Christ-like, that He is molding and shaping us more in His glorious image. We're called to pursue then this renewing of our of knowledge, this renewing of righteousness, this renewing of holiness, as we are renewed in the image of our Creator. And so, first of all, we'll be just looking at 2 points this evening. First of all, we were created after God's image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Looking at these three texts together. First of all, being created in God's image in knowledge. This is tied to the fact that God is omniscient. Now, we are not omniscient, obviously. I mean, God's knowledge is perfect and full. We've been created after His likeness, in a small measure of that. We have the capacity of growing in knowledge. God has given us this. If you consider, you know, I actually mentioned this last week as well, people used to believe that the earth was flat. You know, we can, now we've gone into space, we've gone to the moon, we've orbited around, and we know for certain. You know, we've circumnavigated the globe through sailing. People have flown around the globe. We all know for certain that our world is round. It's a ball. It is not flat. But throughout human history, that was the assumption. It's easy to make that assumption. I mean, we even have people today who insist that the earth is still flat. And their reasoning is, one of their reasoning is that they can look at, you know, from one city and in a short distance away, they don't see that the other city, you know, just a few miles down the road isn't hidden a little bit, you know, as the curvature of the earth, they feel, should start hiding the city that's just down a little bit. I don't know how maybe they've never flown in a plane, but we've come to know and understand that the earth is not flat. We've grown in our knowledge and understanding of God's created world. We also used to believe that the earth was the center of everything, and that the sun and the moon were rotating around the earth. And we know now that that's not true. And we rotate around the sun. God has given us this the ability to grow in our knowledge and understanding, to dive into and to get to know His creation. And through this, to gain, to a certain extent, an understanding of our Creator, His eternal power, His divine nature, His wisdom in creating these things. As we move forward and we continue to grow in our knowledge and understanding of what God has made in His wisdom, the result should be that we grow more and more awe of our Creator who has designed these things, who has made these things, who sustains these things. And so in the beginning, we were created perfect in this regard, an untainted knowledge of God. It wasn't a full knowledge that God has given us of Himself or His creation, but it was an untainted, pure knowledge. He also created us in His image according to righteousness. God is a moral being. There is right and there is wrong. And He created us righteous. We are moral beings that have a sense of what is evil and what is good. You know, when I was finishing up this sermon and looking up a news article that I had come across recently of a, it actually demonstrates the importance of good theology, was there is in South Africa, there's a man who thought that God would protect him from these lions. And the story went that he then walked into the lion, you know, area of this preserve. And well, what do lions do when they attacked? And he was saved, and he was fine, but he didn't understand why the lions attacked. He thought for sure he was safe. But in that article, it pointed out that this preserve, the people on site didn't hear anything about it ever happening. So it wasn't actually, probably not a true story. But I bring it up because that search led me to true stories that I never realized were happening in Kenya over the past 4 weeks, there have been 4 attacks by lions that have escaped a preserve outside of Nairobi, and they've been attacking people, and they've you know, got some of them and put them back. Lions don't have a moral compass. They don't walk around looking at people and thinking, well, it's not really right for me to attack that person. They see what they would view as prey, and they do what's instinctual to them. They're hungry. Here's a slow being that's just wadding along on 2 feet, and we're easy pickings. And so they attack. The rest of God's creatures that he has made in this earth don't have this moral compass. They don't have a sense of, they're not created righteous. They don't have a sense of right and wrong. There is simply the desires and the need that they have and that they fulfill. And this relates to the third way that we are made in God's image, in holiness. The word holy at its base simply means separate, something distinct, something consecrated, set apart. Now, God is the only holy one who is completely separate and distinct over all his creation. But he has given us dominion over his creation. He has created us distinct from the other animals, the other creatures of the earth. We are unique. And this is, you know, I mentioned last week that, you know, I have a real struggle with, you know, the theory of evolution and that I reject it. And part of it is that how can we have this distinct image of God if we're no different than all the other creatures in this earth? That we've just been a part of this changing and shifting forms of life throughout billions of years. The fact is, God tells us that we are made in his image. We are distinct. Doesn't mean that we don't look like, in some regards, and resemble the other creatures of the earth. But we must keep in mind that we are distinct. And we're not even only distinct from the other creatures and animals of this earth, but we're also separate from the angels as well. The angels that God has created, they are not his children. They are not his sons and daughters. Only human beings have that status. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High in Christ. And I think it's really important for us, especially in today's life, to remember that we have this distinction. That we have been created distinct from the rest of God's creation as we are image bearers of God in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Now, moving on to our second point, we know the rest of the story, that image didn't stay untainted. And just a few chapters later in Genesis, Adam and Eve succumb to the temptation and they fall, they sin. We still bear that image of God in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, but it has been severely marred, severely tainted. But in Christ, as Ephesians and Colossians shows us, we are being renewed according to that image. Consider knowledge again. Since the fall, our knowledge is tainted. John Calvin, as he's beginning the Institutes, has this debate of where should he begin? Should he begin in his study of man and talk about how man relates to God? Or should he begin with God and talk about how God relates to man? But in that dialogue, he talks about how we must know and understand this relationship, this creature and creator relationship, in order to really understand and know who we are. If we reject God, if we reject and don't acknowledge him as God, we don't actually have a real, complete understanding of who we are as his creatures made in his image. In Jesus Christ, We are being renewed in this knowledge. I think in two ways. We're being renewed in our knowledge of God himself. Through the fall, we have been alienated from God, but by God's grace through Christ, we are being reunited to him. We are given, he gives us by the work of his Holy Spirit, a knowledge of him, and enabling us to read the pages of Scripture, applying its words to us, and giving us a knowledge and understanding of who he is, and what he has done, and what he requires of us. But I think we're also, in Christ, being renewed in our knowledge of creation itself. You know, if you consider, we can understand how creation works. We can understand how its parts and how it works together. But if you consider the difference between looking at something as something that's been designed and created by a loving, almighty creator and given to us, versus something that has just happened by chance and has no influence whatever of a creator's hand, these are two polar opposites. Our starting point is vastly different. You know, we can both look at an apple, and on one hand, we can see it as this is a wonderful gift of God that he has given to me to be able to enjoy, to eat, to taste, to smell, to nourish me. Or we can look at that same apple and say, well, this is just, you know, a product of chance that's been, you know, developed and over time, and oh, well, I can take it or leave it. With God as the starting point in this knowledge of him, I'm arguing that we can't really know creation itself apart from knowing God. We can have a working understanding of it and knowledge of it, but to know it truly, it must be known in light of the God who created it in his light. If we consider righteousness, through the fall, our righteousness is lost completely. We see that in the first murder that is committed. Not long, within one generation, Cain rising up and murdering his brother. And even before that, moments after the fall, when God gives Adam the opportunity to confess and to fall on his knees and plead for mercy, what does he do? He blames not just Eve, he blames God himself. Said, because of this woman you gave me, this is your fault, God, that I have fallen. Right away, we have lost our righteousness. Morality, since the fall, has been what we make it. Or we've tricked ourselves into thinking that it is. You know, we see that in our own society, that apart from God, same-sex marriage being legalized, the rampant increase of abortion. These things are signs of a deteriorating morality as God has been rejected and a society is falling further away from him. It is only in Christ that this righteousness, well, first of all, that our morality is renewed. That we see as we come to Christ and we read his word, we're convicted by his Holy Spirit of sin. We come to see what righteousness is and what unrighteousness is. And we come to acknowledge it and the truth of it as God presents it. But also only in Christ do we have the true righteousness that is required to be in the kingdom of God. The righteousness of Jesus Christ that he earned through his faithful obedience, even to the point of death. The third thing, holiness. This idea of we were created distinct, separate, in a sense consecrated from the rest of creation. Romans 1 shows us the downward spiral associated with sin. About how we spiral downward as God is rejected, basically to the level and even below that of beasts. We become those that are driven by our desires, every wind and change of our desires, satisfying what we want almost instinctually, what we want. You know, just like that lion that escaped the zoo in Kenya, seeing something we desire, seeing that we want, not thinking about its consequences, but just doing it and pursuing it. Only in Christ You know, I had one seminary professor that put it this way, you know, only in Christ or Christianity is really the true can't think of the word. Human. Anyway, we have our own human standing, you know, our right human perception. Humanism. There it is. I knew it. If I kept saying the word human over and over again, I'd eventually put the right letters around it and get the word. Christianity is the only true right humanism because it's putting humans in the proper place that we are as the image bearers of God. And only in Christ are we being renewed in this image, being renewed in knowledge, being renewed in righteousness, being renewed in holiness. So it's important for us today to remember that we are distinct from the rest of creation. You know, as God unfolded for us his creative work, he really did save the very last, the pinnacle of his creation. That's not arrogance to say that. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are made in his image. And he has given us dominion over everything else. I mean, sure, there may be some things that we find more beautiful, but the fact is, God has made us in his image. We are his sons and daughters. And we have lost that in the fall. In Christ, God is restoring all things, making all things new. And through his grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are being renewed. In his likeness, in his image, according to knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. As God is working in us, the call of Colossians and Ephesians is for us to strive in this work also in putting on this new self. The work of sanctification is a work done by God, but that we participate in. We're not just to sit back and God just, you know, does his thing and that's it. He works. And the fact that he is working, Paul uses to spur us on in our work of sanctification. As we pursue being renewed in knowledge, being renewed in righteousness, being renewed in holiness. Taking advantage of the means of grace that God has given us and reading the Bible, worship, prayer, singing the sacraments. As means by which he molds us and shapes us more into that glorious image. And so, brothers and sisters, let us remember that we are distinct creatures made in the image of God. And he is at work renewing us in his glorious image. So let us respond by pursuing wholeheartedly the work of sanctification that he calls us to and put on the new self. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do, Lord, praise you for your marvelous work in us. Lord, you have created us in your image. We are distinct and separate works of your creation. Lord, we have lost this in the fall. The image that we have is still the image of God. But it is tainted, it is marred, at times unrecognizable. But we praise you, Lord, that by your grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, that you are renewing us in the image that you have made us in. And we pray, Lord, as Paul calls us in Ephesians and Colossians, that we would pursue and put on the new self, which is being renewed according to your likeness in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.